Morning, church. Well, for all of you who are present, this is the first time I've been up here preaching, so. Anyone see that movie? Actually, one of my favorites. This is obviously not the fellowship that I'm up here to preach about. That's the Fellowship of the Ring. However, I thought there were some very interesting points, but I think the movie itself has some good application. But, the Dark Lord Sauron, I view him as Satan. He could be viewed kind of as Satan, because he says he has the power to enslave the world, and we can be enslaved, or we are enslaved by sin. And another comment was, you cover the land in darkness. And you'll see what we are contrasting is darkness and light. And then finally, another key point I heard in there was evil does not sleep. Evil does not sleep. And we have to be on our guard. Now, how is it that they had decided to get together to fight this evil? Well, they formed a fellowship, and they joined weapons, the sword, the bow, and the axe. But we as Christians have the armor of God, and you can read about that in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm not going to read that this morning. Thanks, Steve. Did you notice Frodo? There was one really short thing Frodo said there, and he says, I cannot do this alone. And what I'm here to talk about is we cannot do it alone either. We need Christian fellowship because we cannot do it alone. I'm not up here to talk about money. I think most of the times you see me up here, I'm here to talk about money. Yes, I am here to preach a sermon. I'm here to kick off growing in fellowship. What is our theme for the year? Growing the kingdom. Well, back in December, I think the last Sunday of December, Glenn kicked us off with the growing in kingdom theme. And then Horatio introduced growing in faith. Greg introduced growing in spirit. And then just 2 months ago, Mike introduced growing in service. And I'm up here today to just introduce growing in fellowship. Oh, I don't know what happened here. Sorry about that. I'll be honest, when I first started thinking about this concept of fellowship, I thought it was really about like what we're doing this afternoon at the church picnic, you know, what we do when we have fellowship meals, what we do when we visit outside before and after church or on a Wednesday night, generally enjoying one another's company. But as I prepared, I really learned that fellowship is much, much more than that. Here's some definitions of fellowship from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. A friendly relationship among people. The relationship of people who share interests or feelings, a group of people who have similar interests, companionship, company, community of interest, activity, feeling, or experience, a company of equals or friends. But the best definition that I have found for fellowship is sharing in common. The Greek word for that is, if I spell it, pronounce it right, koinonia. And the verb of that is koinonio. That means to partake or share in common. Just like we do for communion, we partake in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We are communing. We are fellowshipping. God has called out the church to gather together in Jesus' name. He has given us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us, and therefore the church has become a fellowship based on the fellowship of God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I told Garth this, but in our Wednesday night class, there was something Garth had said in our externally focused church class that really touched me, and that was that the church exists because there is a message of life in it. And I really like that. And that life comes through our fellowship with Jesus Christ. So what I'm getting at here is that fellowship is both vertical with God and horizontal among the brothers and sisters that are in Christ. And we can't have fellowship with other Christians without first having fellowship with God. And I appreciate the scripture that that Garth had put up earlier that John had read. But I want to read a few verses before that in 1 John. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So we first have to have fellowship with the Father and His Son before we can have fellowship with one another. So where does fellowship begin? Most of the rest of my sermon here is going to be using the acronym fellowship. And I know there are 10 letters in the word fellowship, but I'm going to be moving really fast here, so don't worry about it. I'm relying on Dan and Carlos to dig deeper on this topic over the next couple of months. Faith.
Is it on? There we go. 1 Peter 2, 4-6. "As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay in stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.'"
What I really like about that scripture is that we are being built into a spiritual house. You'll see that's highlighted there. Now that is fellowship. You know, that togetherness that we have, that spiritual house that we are being built into. But only if we come to Jesus first, the living stone. Encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 through 11 says, "He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone." And then finally, Hebrews 3:13 to 14, "Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had first." I particularly wanted to focus on those last two scriptures. And that's a way of encouraging one another through our fellowship. We can encourage the weak, the timid, be patient with one another. And what I really liked in the Hebrews passage there is that it says, "so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We need fellowship so that we can encourage one another to stay firm, so that we will not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And of course, we have come to share in Christ. we have that sharing in common, that definition that I said earlier, we share in Christ. The first L is love.
1 Peter 2:17. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. 1 John 4:21. God has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Thank you, Corey.
Welcome.
There are many more scriptures. The Bible is full of scriptures about love. I particularly like these three, but there are many that I could have chosen. The bottom line, though, is that we are commanded to love one another, especially within the family of God, those with whom we have fellowship. And especially, I look at 1 John again. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. The second L in fellowship is for life groups. I'd like to plug life groups again. Because of the time of year, and I thought Glenn had done such a fine job last week in his sermon, in the introduction to life groups. Thank you, Glenn. A key aspect of our life groups is fellowship. I think all of us would acknowledge that that is a key aspect of life groups. We fellowship with one another in life groups through prayer, song, support, and sharing. In fact, one of the things that I really liked in Glenn's sermon last week was he had said that he had spoken that morning with a sister when he was doing his greeting at the beginning, and that sister said that she was really looking forward to life groups starting again because it was the missing link. I think that was the phrase he used. It was the missing link. So we've gone, for most life groups, ended for the summer, but I know for many of us, we're anxious to start again because it's the missing link. We miss that fellowship with one another. And life group is a way of being maybe just a little bit more intimate with one another in a smaller group setting. And the apostles had fellowship with the Father and with the Son. That was what I read earlier in 1 John 1:3. And I also thought it was great last week when Glenn had said that he referred to Jesus and his apostles as the first life group. That stuck with me when Glenn said that last week, the first life group. And in 1 John 1:3, we read how the apostles had that fellowship with Jesus.
Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Life groups are one more way that we can meet together to enjoy Christian fellowship and to encourage one another. O is for oneness. And I believe this particular one is at the heart of fellowship. John chapters 14, 16, and 17 demonstrate the ultimate fellowship among God, His Son, and His Spirit, and with believers. Sorry to print so small there, but if you want to read it in your Bibles, John 17, verse 10. This is the scripture where Jesus was praying for his disciples. And he said, "All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them." Now, Jesus was talking to his Father there that all I have is yours and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me, Jesus, through them, his disciples. In John 17, 20 to 21, now this was the prayer for all believers. Jesus said, I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. That's fellowship among the believers. And Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, fellowship between God and Jesus again, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. All that is the Son's is in the Father's, and the Father is in the Son, because they are one. I say that is perfect harmony between the Father and the Son. And because of God's great love for us, he wants us to have that same fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And finally, John 14, 9-11, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Now that is perfect fellowship. The fellowship between the Father and the Son. And God desires that for us. 2 weeks ago, Dan and Carlos introduced what we're going to be about here in the upcoming months, about our vision quest for this church, for the Pittman Church. And I understand I wasn't in the class, but Greg, I think, introduced it in the Bible class this morning too. I just want to stress how important it is as we move forward that we be united, we be as one when we go through this. Everyone might not get their way, but everyone will be heard. I think that's something that Dan has said before. So, but we need, it's very important that we have this fellowship, this oneness as we go through this. W is for worship. Worship is active fellowship. That's what we're doing here this morning. When we worship, we're fellowshipping with one another, again, because we have that shared purpose. We are one with God and one with one another.
Psalm 95, 6 through 7. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
What I found pretty interesting with that is the worship that he's referring to, he uses the plural, us and we. And we are to gather together to worship our God. It's not individually one another, although we do that, but we're asked to gather together and worship. He is our God and we are his people. Support. Acts 2:42-45. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Support is not just for our physical needs either. It's also spiritual and emotional support as well. And again, I would say life groups can provide for that support. I'd like to just divert a little bit here this morning About 2 weeks ago, I was at an insurance conference in Orlando, and I've been to many conferences. For those of you who know me well, you know I do a fair amount of travel. But after hearing the keynote speaker at this conference, I called Annette and told her that that was the best keynote speaker that I've ever experienced. And who was it? For those of you football fans, it was Jim Kelly. Does anybody know who Jim Kelly is? Well, Jim Kelly is a Hall of Fame quarterback who played for the Buffalo Bills. He also played for the University of Miami, I believe, Carlos. Got to plug that. So what I want to read to you is quite interesting, because this came, I get all hundreds of emails, and this is a blog called the Claim Wire, which is a secular blog about workers' compensation. And this was, the keynote speak was on August the 18th, and this blog was written after the keynote speech. And this came by email a few days later. This blogger says, "I've attended more conferences and listened to more speakers than I can possibly remember. Some are quite good, but none of them compare to what I heard today. Today, I was inspired. I'm at the WCI conference in Orlando with a few thousand colleagues in the workers' comp industry. We were very blessed, yes, I said blessed, not just lucky, to hear the former Buffalo Bills quarterback Jim Kelly speak. I've been a sports fan my whole life, but I have to be honest, I was never really a Jim Kelly fan. Now, don't take that wrong. It's not that I disliked him. I just didn't follow him that closely. Living in the West and being a 49ers fan most of my life, I just didn't pay much attention to number 12 for the Bills. I do remember the four consecutive Super Bowl losses. I mean, come on. That will probably go down in history for any sport, not just football. As a Utah Jazz fan, I had to live through two straight championship losses to the Bulls. But four? Ouch. But today I saw those losses from a whole new perspective, from the guy who was in the middle of it. Jim Kelly wasn't just a great passer. He wasn't just a great team leader. He was and is a guy who wouldn't quit, a guy who led his teammates on and off the field, a guy anyone would want leading his or her team. But those things don't tell the whole story. Yes, Jim Kelly was a great quarterback, but he's an even better man. This morning, I learned for the first time about Jim and his wife's son, Hunter. I'm sure Hunter's story was in the news, but like I said, I never really followed Jim's career or life. So until today, I had no idea he had a son pass away at the tender age of 8 from crab disease. As a father myself, I can imagine, only imagine, how hard that must have been. I saw how hard it was on my parents when my oldest sister was killed in a car accident when she was 21. My heart breaks when I hear of parents losing children. It's one of those things that just shouldn't happen. Jim admitted that at first he was angry with God and pretty much everything and everyone else. But instead of holding on to that anger and letting it destroy him, he and his wife turned their tragedy into an opportunity to help others. They started a foundation called Hunter's Hope. Their foundation has helped tens of thousands of children and their families. But Jim's story doesn't end there, and neither do his challenges. In June of 2013, he announced that he had carcinoma in his upper jaw. He told us that tomorrow, which was now almost 2 weeks ago, he goes in for an MRI to see if his treatments have been successful. Well, he did that on the 19th of August. He went to New York, and they found no cancerous cells. But then last week, he went back again, I found out, to get some biopsies done. So on top of losing a son, he's now fighting cancer. But like every other challenge he has faced in life, he is facing cancer head on. And like he did with his son's tragedy, he's turning his cancer into an opportunity to help others. I can't possibly share how powerful Jim's comments were today. One of the things I really appreciated was the way Jim thanked God for all he's been given, including the many challenges he and his family have faced. A lot of people in our society today want to remove God from every conversation, every schoolroom, and even from Christmas. It was so refreshing today to listen to a man share his story, his heart, with several thousand strangers and give glory to God. The audience's reaction was equally awesome. We gave him a well-deserved standing ovation, not because Jim Kelly was a great NFL quarterback, but because Jim Kelly is a great man. Life isn't about football. It's not about making a lot of money. It's not about being famous. Life is about helping others and glorifying God. Four Super Bowl losses in a row, who cares? If there were a Hall of Fame for people who help and inspire others, Jim Kelly would be on the poster. I'm praying for you, Jim. Now remember, this is a blog from an insurance guy who is a secular blog, and he's writing this, and I was shocked to see this come through because I don't often see that. All that to say, when I was sitting down listening to Jim, knowing that I'd be speaking here this morning, and just two things that Jim said that I jotted down on my phone. One was, he specifically said that people need support. People need support. We all need support. And the second thing that I jotted down was, he said, it is a blessing to know that people care. It is a blessing to know that people care. So that's support. The H is for harmony.
1 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 9. All of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, and be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing.
So having fellowship should result in us living in harmony with one another, because we all have the love of Christ in us. I is intentional. Fellowship doesn't just happen.
Deuteronomy 4:29. If you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. Acts 11:29-30. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul.
So what I mean by intentional, it's up to us to seek out the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul. And we need to be intentional with one another, as was read in the Acts chapter 11 there. They decided to provide help for the brothers. We need to be very intentional with our fellowship. Finally, P is for purpose. From the beginning, it was God's purpose for us to be in fellowship with him. He made us in his image. He had a plan to reconcile us back to him through his son. And he designed the church as a fellowship of believers, God's family. So God had a purpose. And God expresses his purpose for us in Romans 8:28-29. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And then in Philippians 2:1-2, that expresses our purpose, what our purpose should be. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. That scripture pretty much sums it up in my book. And we have fellowship with God by being united with Christ. We have fellowship with the Spirit and fellowship with one another by being like-minded, having the same love and being one in spirit and purpose. And that's fellowship. That's Christian fellowship. So I thank you this morning. At this time, we will have an invitation song, I believe. For those of you who are not part of this fellowship and are interested in learning more about that, I ask you to come forward. For those of you who maybe your fellowship is hindered in some way and you want prayers, or if you want prayers for any other matter that may be going on in your life, I invite you to come forward at this time as we sing this song.